host back on the Boss Man Show in its 8th year. Texas A&M Commerce, right outside of Dallas, Texas, Metroplex. Women's basketball coach there, the Lions, Jason Burden, on the show with me this morning. What's up, brother Burden? How's the weather down there in the Metroplex, man?
Man, the weather's nice right now. It was cold last week, but we're good right now.
Hey, now how are y'all recovering from that Cowboys loss on Sunday, man? How is that going for you,
brother? We're going right there, huh? We're going right there after the game. You know what? It's all right. We got a bounce back week. We got the Atlanta Falcons this week, so we got a bounce back week.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because we coming down and we know y'all quarterback very well, Dan Quinn. We know his plays very well, so we know what's coming. Right. We know what's coming.
All right. We got different personnel now, so. I hear that, man.
Well, look, let me ask you off the bat, man. You all got the call up to the Southland Conference going there next year. But tell me about that. What's it mean for your program? You're currently D2. So how's that changed how you recruit for scholarship-wise and going up to Southland Conference in D1 there, brother?
Yeah. So, you know, for us scholarship-wise, we have 10 full scholarships. We can break it up however we want to. Going to the Southland, we jump up to 15 full. So immediately it increases the type of player we can get. It increases the amount of players that we can get on full scholarship. And so that allows us to drastically change how we recruit. But as far as being competitive, you know, we're one of the best D2 programs in the country. We have been the last 3 years. And I think that translates. You know, we're not going to a Power 5 conference right now. We're going to a conference that's very, very similar to our conference, at least the top tier of our conference. And so I think right away we'll be able to compete. And that's what we want to do. That's our goal. I think for the university, though, it's huge. It's huge as far as exposure. It's huge as far as just growth for our universities. It's the right time. It's the right time for us to do this. You know, it's going to help enrollment. It's going to help a lot of things with our school. And so we're fired up here about that move and looking forward to it, man.
Man, you're in your 8th year as a head coach. In this business, you know how it is, man. 3 to 4 years, you out of there. So tell me, how's it feel to be there 8 years and the university support you the way they have and have your back, man?
Man, it's a blessing. It is a blessing. Definitely have had some opportunities the last few years to move or go elsewhere, but we got a good thing going on right here. And I have an incredible boss in my athletic director, Tim McMurray. Our president, Mark Rubin, is great. And it was icing on the cake when they decided to make this move to Division One. So, you know, I can stay here and hopefully we can work out a new contract here in the near future. But it's been a blessing, man. The guy that brought me into this business, Sam Walker, he's still on campus. And so to have your mentor in walking distance to be able to talk, to be able to vent to whatever is incredible. But the support that we have as far as women's basketball, I mean, our attendance at games is incredible. The support that we have on campus for women's athletics is huge. And so why leave a good thing when we've got something going special here?
No doubt, man. And I'm asking you this, brother, like last year, 14 wins during a COVID year. You know, how was it for your team not to know where you're going to play or not, testing all the time? You know, you shoot around, you find out we're not playing today. So how did you and your young women persevere through all those hard times last year, man?
I don't think people realize how tough that year was. Like, that was – it was probably, you know, postseason-wise, our second-best season in school history. You know, we got a win in the NCAA tournament, had a chance to almost compete and go to the Sweet 16, but just fell a little bit short. But to do that in the COVID year when, you know, two of our losses last year came with our best players out because of COVID testing. And one of those games we scheduled just because we had to meet a minimum number of games to make the tournament. So it was like, man, let's get a game in. Even if we, you know, don't win the game, let's try to get it in. And we did. And we were on the road for 2 days, found out on game day that we weren't going to play. So we picked up a game on the way back and we're winning the entire game. And in the last 3 minutes of the game, we lose the game. That was one of our losses. And that was just the type of year it was. But it was incredibly stressful. We didn't have a preseason because we spent every 2 weeks in quarantine, basically, because you're testing, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And anytime somebody has symptoms, you're testing again. And then, you know, the NCAA tournament first game, we had a positive test. It ended up being a false positive, but for 30 minutes, we thought our season was over and didn't get a chance to play. And that was going to be back-to-back years in the NCAA tournament that we didn't get a chance to play. So just to be able to have the success we had with a bunch of new players, nobody quit. Nobody decided to sit the year. I'm proud of our girls for that. The way they persevered, the way they, because it was just tough mentally. And to be able to still have success in the classroom when everything's virtual, they're not used to virtual. The tutoring wasn't the same. It was definitely difficult mentally, but we found a way to get it done.
I can only imagine trying to put in install offense over Zoom. You know, I can only imagine because you have a lot of young women on your team that are freshmen, sophomores. And so trying to install things via Zoom, I know my father's a coach. You know, I chose being radio. You and Brian and other guys for coaching, I love y'all for doing it because I know JR. I'm going to start cussing the wrong way since saying the wrong thing. So I'm that convinced. So I said, no, let me be on the radio. I can kind of just not lose any games. I can just talk about the game and have fun that way. So tell me about that, how you're trying to put it inside via Zoom and real camaraderie via Zoom. And then this year you can have workouts in the spring and summer and and girls going to go to class now because they wouldn't, last year was all gone from them last year.
We didn't do anything basketball via Zoom.
You didn't, you know,
every time you try to get on a Zoom and you try to play video, something technical goes wrong. You know, a big part of our success, I really think, was just checking up on our girls mentally and trying to keep it light. And then when we got a chance to get on the floor, we got after it. But we do a thing called Empower Hour. And so the first 6 weeks of the school year, we get one guest speaker to come speak to our team. And so that was the one thing that we had consistently was, and the great thing about Zoom is you can get somebody from across the country anywhere. You know, we had Chloe from Overtime, who's Overtime Basketball, who's now actually an assistant coach at Baylor, talk. We had some very influential people in the women's basketball community talk to our team. We just had people all over and talk and try to empower and try to inspire and keep motivated. And that was a big thing that we did while they were in quarantine, was just try to keep motivated. And then when we got to the floor, we got after it. But what it did was it tightened up our rotation. We really leaned on our returners who knew stuff from last year, who already knew our offense to play. And then some of our newcomers played spot minutes. And we had one transfer that was in her fourth year, and we kind of leaned on her as one of the newbies to play just because she played college basketball before. She could figure it out on the fly. But a lot of it was our returners got the minutes, and they got it done.
And you kind of spoke about mental health. You know, I tell you what, you know, I'm a radio dude, so my mental health is not what it is, what a basketball player is right now. So tell me about how you kind of foster their mental health, because and Power Hour is a great idea. And because I know when young women can't get the apartment, court, and not be able to enjoy themselves and be a college student pretty much. So how did you all kind of help with that mental health? And now with it being more open in Texas now, like it's in Georgia, how has it been different this year now for you guys?
Yeah, it's open. But, you know, crazy thing is, so my wife is a frontline worker. She works at a hospital. She's been in the thick of things for almost 2 years now. And one thing that we really do or try to do is have the team at our house. And we just couldn't do it. We have a 2-year-old son who in the middle of this was an infant, really. And so you can't have the team at the house. You're trying to find ways to still have team bonding. Campus was dead last year just because you couldn't do the same things on campus. You got mask requirements, you got testing, you're trying to protect your team. And so to me, that was the most important thing with the season last year was how do we check on these kids and how do we make sure that they're good mentally? And how do you keep them sane? I think we lost one of our better freshmen last year just because she wanted to go back home. So that was a tough thing that you know, you lose a couple of kids because especially in your first year, you feel like you don't have that same camaraderie that you're used to. So this year we made an important thing for us to make sure we try to do as much as possible. There's still COVID. COVID's still real. So we're still trying to be careful. But, you know, one thing we do every year, we have a boot camp. And as a part of our boot camp this year, they got a chance to get out of boot camp early by putting together a little skit. So they had to do a team dance. They had to do in groups of three. They had a lip sync battle, which was cool. It was fun. They choreography and all that. And then we have two freshmen that can sing, and so they had to do a duet. So we got our admin to come in the gym. They performed it, and it was a good little time as far as them getting out of their lane slides and their conditioning that they got to do. So, you know, you got to find ways to keep it light and still get better. But I think so much of this game of basketball is the chemistry and the culture that you have. And everybody's good at X and O's at this level. If you're coaching college basketball, if you're playing college basketball, you're doing it at the highest level. But what separates you? And to me, it's the culture aspect of it and the chemistry aspect.
And you have a back-to-back coming up, Jason. Colorado State Cleveland and Colorado Christian. Tell me about the NFL's back-to-back. So do you prepare for one, the first game, then do it the back one on the second end, or kind of doing both at the same time there?
We're preparing for the first game, obviously, just because that's the team we play first. You got to go in and get a win. And then that second game, you get a chance to watch the other team live, and we'll make our adjustments at the hotel. But the main focus has been on us. And we went through the gauntlet this preseason. We played Baylor, SMU, and Houston in the last week and a half. So there's not a better team in the country at the Division II level that we're going to play as far as just talent-wise. I mean, Baylor has the best player in the country in Alyssa Smith. Houston is super athletic with high major bigs that they press, they run and jump, they dribble drive, and then SMU is high execution and very talented. So we got three different looks this preseason, which hopefully prepares us. You know, we think we've seen pretty much everything we're going to see, with the exception of some zone work, and we'll work on that in practice this week. But the thing is to continue as a team to get better with what we do. We're one of the best teams in the country. We're preseason number 10 right now for a reason, and it's because people got to guard us too. So that's what we're going to focus on is us and our execution.
No doubt. I'm asking his brother, at what point did you decide to become a head coach? I know I said my father's a head coach. I wasn't in my path. So what kind of made you say, hey, I want to get into coaching and help young women to grow and develop and become great leaders in their communities after they leave you for after them 4 years of playing for you, brother?
Yeah, I think every athlete at some point, like, they said they want to be around the game. And early on, because I had injuries, I said I wanted to go to school for sports medicine. I wanted to be a physical therapist. And then I realized I don't like science at all. Like, I'm not good at it. Like, that's not my wheelhouse. So what's next? So I switched my major to business. But after my freshman year of college, me and my brother Brian, who's also a longtime college coach, we started an AAU program called Dallas Hoop Dreams. And that's how I got into coaching. And then the minute I started doing that, I fell in love with coaching. And so I decided I wanted to be a head coach in college, and I wanted to be a head coach by the age of 30. That was the goal I set out to do. And I started my career on the men's side, though. And so started here on the men's side 4 years and went to Texas State. After my second year at Texas State, my boss got fired. And so I had a decision to make. It was continue to try to chase, you know, assistant coaching jobs at the Division I level, or I got offered a high school head coaching job at age 27. And so I took that high school job. We won one game. And somehow a one-win high school coach became a Division II women's head college coach at the same place I started my career. It's because of the job we did the first time around. I think they believed in me and what we were able to accomplish when I was on the men's side. And they took a shot at, you know, bringing me back and being the women's head coach. I won't go back. This is the women's side is for me. But I knew at an early age that I wanted to be a head coach, and I was fortunate enough to have the things fall in the line like they did.
No doubt. Last one for you, brother. I got this. When you come to Atlanta, brother, tell me where you left. I have to go to eat at when you in town, man.
When I come to Atlanta?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got to see what your taste is, man, when you come to town.
Listen, I'm finding me a chicken and waffle spot when I come to Atlanta.
I hear that. Hey, last night, chicken and waffles is gone, though.
It's gone?
Yeah, it's gone.
I went there. I went to the men's final for Atlanta. That's probably back in like 09, 10, something like that.
No, I think it was 12, 13. It was 12. 12, yeah.
Because I was at Texas State. And that was probably the last restaurant I went to in Atlanta.
Yeah. I remember that Final Four vividly. A lot went on that weekend. I remember.
A lot did go on that weekend.
Yes. Hey, it's best way. This 9 years ago, I remember it like it was yesterday. 9 years ago, I remember it. Then last year, COVID stole it from us last year. I had some interviews lined up for the Final 4 week. I'm like, it messed up my whole flow. I had some interviews booked that I lost. I'm like, dadgum COVID. But it happened on my birthday, Jason. Like March 11th is my birthday.
That's crazy.
So forever, I know COVID hit on my birthday.
So we're sitting on the bus. We had just finished practice for NCAA tournament first round. We're already at the tournament, and we're on the bus headed back to the hotel, and I get the phone call after we finished practice, shut down. But I knew, like, the day before, just sitting in the hotel room, I'm watching Rudy Gobert, and and all that, that he tested positive for COVID. I'm like, something's about to happen. It's about to get shut down. And was hoping and praying it didn't happen, but then you just kept seeing thing after thing. Mm-hmm. That day, conference tournament shutting down, and then, you know, it happened. So,
yep. So forever I know 2020, my birthday was the day COVID hit for real, March 11th. So I cannot forget that the rest of my life. So my birthday film was known as the COVID day, I guess.
Well, hopefully this year's a lot better. This one coming up. Hopefully we, you know, people get vaccinated or whatever, and this thing kind of goes away, and we can move on to some form of normal life.
Yeah, prayerfully. You know, I miss the road. I love the road, but I miss the road. So getting back on the road this year has been good. I'll be in Huntsville tonight, Alabama A&M and Tennessee State tonight. Tomorrow, okay. I'll be in Nashville, Alabama it's State, here, and Vanderbilt. So I'm back. I'm see what we got going, man.
It's here. I'm excited, man. I was talking to my wife this morning. My wife's a basketball junkie, and she played college basketball too. And she's like, man, I got South Carolina women tonight. I got Michigan State, Kansas. And think with Duke, Kentucky, and it's here. So it's fun. It's the best time of the year right now, man.
Hey, between football and basketball, you can't go wrong right now. And you know what? I cannot wait until February when it slows down after the All-Star game and for the NBA. So I can just ride on out to April. Now, the Hawks are struggling right now, so who knows? But, hey. Man,
Steph Curry went nuts on the Hawks last night.
Well, the Hawks don't stop nobody. That's not surprising.
But 50? I mean. 50.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, the Hawks, you got too much of a good, almost you got too many guys who want to play. Then too many guys who aren't defenders either. So with Golden State, you can't really hide Trae Young. Think about it. You can't hide him against Golden State. Because you got Poole, Wiggins, Steph, Dre, and Looney. And the way they play, he can't just hide in a corner on somebody. He's still defensive by in action.
It's almost like Steph takes it personal, too. Like, just to remind y'all who did it first. Like, who?
Yes.
Or they're shooting the three ball first.
Yes. And, well, our general manager came from Golden State. Slink came from Golden State. Yeah. So, that's what he envisions of a Herder with Trey, Collins. Yeah. That's what his mind is today. We're Golden State Southeast. But the thing about it is, when you play like Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks, or you play the Bucks with Budenholzer, they don't make adjustments. And Doc Rivers, they don't make adjustments. Trae Young can hide on a Reggie Bullock or a Ben Simmons or a Portis or a P.J. Tucker. So thinking about beating the Hawks is this. Make Trae Young get in action. He can't stop nobody. So just the game plan, and Golden State exposes it.
It sounds like you got a little bit of coaching in you, man. You might have to come over here to this side. You got the game plan.
Hey, synergy. I watch a lot of film, brother. so I know.
Hey, you know, that's a sign of a good radio person, man. Everybody don't break down the film and see it for themselves and see what people are really doing. So I like it, man.
Yeah, because it helps that my dad's a coach and I played ball too. So, because a lot of guys in my field, I mean, I don't want to throw nobody on the bus, but they don't know nothing. They just ask general, tell me why this didn't work. How about watch the film and also the matchups?
Yeah.
See, I'm asking about matchups and what I'm seeing on the court, adjustments to make, you know, heads pick and roll, maybe no bracket a little bit. You know what I'm saying? No, but NBA is about painting. Gaps and slots in the NBA. It's all it's about. So driving in there, like on the Hawks offense, Trae Young's going to drive to the elbow and get you to commit to his floater or a lob to Capella or a strong weak side three. It's really a four-way go, what you got. Mm-hmm. And so
it's tough to guard, man. It's tough to guard. The way he shoots and the way he plays, it's tough to guard.
No doubt. And so if it was me, I'm going to say, hey, Trae, make any floater you want to make. Or because I'm going to stick my plaster to Bogey, but Bogdanovic, Gallinari, I'm going to make you a six floaters. If you make 50-55 floaters, we lose. Great. But nobody's going to beat us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, yes. I'm of the mindset, I'm going to let you get yours, stop everybody else. You know, that's the way I would do if I'm coaching.
You got to figure out, at that level, you got to figure out what you're okay with.
Yes.
How you're going. And if that's the game plan for everything else happens, then yes. You're good.
Yes. I will live with Trae Young hitting floaters all game long rather than him hitting threes. And I don't want to get Bogey hot, Gallinari hot, Herder hot. I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to let you hit floaters. Or let Capella get a dunk. But I'm gonna take my floater, though, over that. So that's just me. But it's funny watching these coaches in the NBA, this high level. They just, like I said, Bud Budenholzer, Milwaukee, Jenkins with Memphis, Doc Rivers in Philadelphia, Thibodeau with the Knicks. They just play system, no matter who it is. And in the playoffs, that gets you in trouble.
So who's your favorite coach in the league right now?
I actually like Kerr. He makes adjustments. I like Kerr because he makes adjustments. I also like my man in the Clippers, Lou. Lou makes adjustments too. Lou does what he's based on who he's playing.
You know, a lot of people didn't give Lou his respect when he won with Cleveland. They just said, "Oh, you got LeBron."
Nah, Talking coach. It's just that, you know, what blows our mind is that certain teams like Rick Carlisle does not make adjustments. They just play my system. You can't do that because in the playoffs, they're going to get you beat. Like, the Bucks won because Durant's toe. They caught a break, okay? And Trae Young's ankle got hurt. Because remember, Bud coached the Hawks, man. So I remember him. He'll make adjustments. It's the same thing. If you watch the Memphis Grizzlies and the Bucks, it's the same offense. Because Jenkins came from Milwaukee. I'm like,
right.
So I'm like, okay, it's the same thing, Jason. So, like, bro, I know you get in your coaching world, but I'll be watching film on synergy, brother. I watch film. So I know what's going on, man. So I'm asking questions. I'm like, I don't watch the film. I know what you're doing.
So you didn't watch us before the show? I got questions about us. How would you guard us? You see?
Next time we get on. I haven't saw your film yet. I gotta watch your film.
Yeah, next time we get on, I gotta ask you.
Yeah, I gotta watch your film. Yeah, I gotta watch it. Yeah, I gotta go see you watch your film, brother. I would do that because I love being in that dark room here on my laptop while watching the film. I love it, man. I enjoy it. And it's funny. My father's 81 years old, still watching film.
If it's in you, it's in you, right?
Yeah. You know, he watches the NBA with me. He's like, "This is terrible basketball. I don't like it." He's old school. He wants to put two down on the block. Do all that. He old school. Yes. He ain't with the spread game yet. He ain't with the Mike D'Antoni game no more. He ain't with that.
That's the way the game's going, man. But the game is going that way. You know, and it ebbs and flows, right? Like, you're gonna see some dominant big players come in the league at some point and the game will change it back a little bit, I'm sure. But because everybody's trying to find a way to innovate and to change it up. But right now, you better be able to shoot the three ball.
Let me ask you this, though. This is a Miami Heat question. Did you help
out? I was surprised you didn't say Spo, by the way, as one of your favorite coaches.
Yeah. Well, it's because I have a thing with Orlando Magic. That was my team when I was younger, so I don't really like Miami like that. So I kind of call them the Miami Heat. I don't give them respect because I have to. But this is a Heat question, though, for you. Would you help off the strong side three the way the Heat do?
Would I help off it?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, but that's me. That's how we play. We don't help off strong side three.
The Miami Heat is one of the teams in the NBA who help on that strong side three, help off that strong. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but they do it all the time. They'll give you a strong side three. They'll help off of it. I don't get it. But they get away with it, but I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it. And the only time we do it, it's a scout situation. If they put a non-shooter in the corner on the strong side, then yeah, help. But you better commit to taking that charge too. That's my
yeah, because I watch it all the time. Like, yeah, that's the one few teams to do it in the NBA. The Raptors do it too.
Yeah, as a general rule, no, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah, because that's just something I don't agree with. They make it work, but I don't agree with it. And that's what Scott Brooks did with the Wizards and the Thunder. He helped out that strong side corner. I don't understand it.
But you know, it goes back to what I said earlier. Like, people have their thing that they're going to live with. If they're going to live with the corner three, then that's their thing, I guess. But in the league, you got people that's their only job is to knock down the corner three. So
yes, PJ Tucker.
That's his thing. PJ Tucker's thing is make corner threes, right?
Yes. So. And you know what? This is why I fought Monty Williams in the finals. He didn't build a wall against Giannis. He just chose to go with Ayton on him rather than building a wall.
Yeah.
That's what hurt them. He did not build a wall against Giannis, and he went 8-0. Also, losing Dario Saric off the bench hurt them as well.
No doubt.
Tore his knee up game one. So I was like, if Monty had played, like everybody else played him, what would have? Make him shoot jumpers. I'll live with Giannis taking threes.
If Giannis gets a jumper, it's over. Go ahead and put that out right now.
So, yeah, that was one thing about the finals. I said
the same way about Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons looks like he's never going to get a jumper. So,
nah, never going to get a jumper, never. And Philadelphia's fine. This man for having mental health issues, which is crazy to me. It's crazy. I mean, Daryl Morey is too stubborn for his own good.
So, how do you feel about the trade rumor? They're talking about Ben Simmons for Jaylen Brown.
That's, I gotta be honest with you. A lot of these are agent-driven leaks. Like, that's an agent putting it out there. That's Rich Paul trying to drum up some. That's Rich Paul, because it came from Sham Sharania.
Yeah.
That's Rich Paul. Okay. League sources, that's Rich Paul. So, for being in the league, I kind of can tell when certain things are being said, where it came from. Like, no, it came from an executive. It came from an agent. Now, that's not even real. I want to look. I'm gonna tell you. Look, in December 15th, free agents can be traded at that point, Jason. So at that point, you'll see Ben Simmons get traded after December 15th, because the league can be trades now. Because right now, free agents cannot be traded right now because of the rules.
Right.
So, but yeah, when you see a Woj bomb or a Shams bomb, Woj is the executives, Shams is the agents or the players. And Shams is owned by Rich Paul. He's a clutch client.
Okay.
So think about, notice when Lonzo Ball's contract got announced and all these different people with clutch got announced, came from Shams Charania. Woj gets from the executives. Like,
I'm learning something. I'm getting my NBA facts from you, man.
Yes. And so it's funny, like when the Hawks fired Lori Pierce, when Woj put it out there, I knew it hours ago. It wasn't a Woj bomb. I knew that 3 hours before you put it out there. And I could tell the story was off when you said it. Because I know what really happened. It's like, I laugh when I hear Hawks news and I'm like, that ain't how that actually happened. But okay. So what third party gonna tell you some third hand information that you putting out there? Now, some knew that happened, but not what you're saying.
Right.
Like I can tell when I hear these stories out here, Jason, I can tell where it come from. Like, I know who put that out. I just laugh about it.
So who you got winning this year?
Brooklyn or Golden State.
If Klay gets healthy and Klay gets back, they're gonna be nasty, man.
Think about this. If you bring him off the bench, that's a sick bench, or you start him, it's sick. Because you got either Poole off the bench with Otto Porter, Bielitsa, you know, Iguodala, GP2 now defensively.
Golly.
I mean, the Warriors have actually rebuilt on the fly and kept their core. They did it somehow. They did it.
They did it because they tanked. They tanked. They got a high draft pick.
Yes.
And they were able to reload. So, you know.
Which tells me they have a short window, because Draymond Green's days are numbered, because they're going to try to put Wiseman in that position.
Yeah, they are.
Then you got Moody, the other brother they drafted, Kuminga. We'll have to get the brother's name. So they've reloaded on the fly. But Draymond Green, I don't know if they're going to give him what he wants on his contract. I think Wiseman is just get developing to take Draymond's place.
Yeah, he is.
So I think that's going to be the one that's going to be Green. But Curry and Thompson still be there. Shooting, you can't get rid of shooting like that.
Can't.
And Wiggins will be gone eventually too, in my opinion. So Wiggins and Green will be the one I think will be gone. And Brooklyn, without Kyrie Irving, that's still good to me. That's the best thing to provide. Because last year, with Durant and a half of Harden, they bought one game against the Bucks. So if that happened last year, I believe when they get Aldridge fully going again, Griffin, Bruce Brown, those guys, Bembry off the bench, Patty Mills get going, that's formidable.
But you see how the new rules have been affecting Harden, though.
I think he'll adjust to it. Remember, he's also injured off the hand. He's injured still, too. He's rehabbing still. So let him get in shape a little bit more, and we'll see. But I do believe he'll adjust to it. I believe in Eastern Conference, the Bucks and Sixers will be competing to get beat by Brooklyn. And the West, I feel like Golden State has the most complete team. And I think the Denver's scary too.
You don't believe in the Chicago Bulls at all right now?
They got to go through them steps. The Knicks.
They don't got too much time because DeRozan ain't that young.
He ain't, but you know how them teams are coming together first year. They usually don't make it out past second round, maybe. And the Knicks, Thibodeau don't make any adjustments. I don't think they do anything. They'll get beat in the second round probably. Because, and plus, Thibodeau wears his guys out, Jason. You know, he wears his guys out.
Yeah.
Like, we call him in the NBA the knee killer. It's his nickname, the knee killer. And Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, Stockholm Syndrome. Y'all got bad knees. He gonna destroy your knees. Bro, they play Philadelphia on ESPN, up by 20. Why are your stars in the game still with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter?
I saw who was that? On IG, man. They were talking about what is his name? He's always commenting on the videos, but he was like talking about how they doing this in Chicago. No, it wasn't the Knicks, it was Chicago though. They were up 20, still full court pressing, getting steals. I'm like, okay. That's a Thibodeau type deal though.
And remember, I remember 2012, I was coming from a Hawks playoff game and Derek Rose got injured. It was up by 14 in the fourth quarter against whoever was playing towards ACL. Look, bro, if you lose that kind of lead in the fourth quarter, up by 14, you should lose that game. But you got your main man hurt. He ain't been the same ever since. People in the league, this is what people in the league say, we have no idea why Derrick Rose goes back to his man who hurt his career, the way he hurt his career. Tibbs ruined that man's career. He would have been special but for Tibbs destroying him the way he did, ran him to the ground.
He likes him, though. He went back to play for him, so.
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome. Stockholm Syndrome. If you got my ACL tour and my meniscus tour, I wouldn't talk to you ever again in my life. I don't know you. Who are you? You killed my knees, man. The knee killer himself, Tom Thibodeau. Hey, he's a great guy. I love to talk to the man. I would not want to play for him, though. I value my ACLs, my MCLs, my PCLs. I value my knees. I value my ankles. I value my legs. I don't want to be visiting James Andrews, Alabama for surgery because of you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, this has been fun, brother. Hey, I'm telling you, hit me up. You know, in the NBA, I got you. I'll give you the boss man bomb. But get one. I got you.
Since you're talking about my Cowboys, what you thought about them leaving Dak and all the starters in at the end of the game right there?
Horrible idea.
Horrible. Especially if you just coming off injury.
Dude got a hurt calf. You got him out here in millions of minutes. Like, you could got that man hurt again. But see, Mike McCarthy's not good at player management or time management. And I don't want to really shock this man out, but Aaron Rodgers won in spite of Mike McCarthy. You know, Aaron Rodgers showed us who he really is. So I'm glad about that. You know, I'll be cheering for anybody but them going forward. See, I don't know. The Cowboys, you know, I like some of y'all fans. I got friends who are Cowboy fans here in Atlanta. I don't know how that happened, but they're Cowboy fans.
Everywhere.
They'll be going to the game this weekend. I say, hey, have fun. Park at the Walmart across from the stadium and have a good time. And, you know, hope y'all be upset when you come back to Atlanta. That's what I'm hoping. You know, between the Dallas Cowboys and Falcons, our teams both always lay eggs.
It's a different team this year, man. I keep trying to tell you that, man. We had a one-off game. It's all right. It's all right.
I don't trust McCarthy.
We weren't supposed to win in Minnesota with a backup quarterback. So the fact that we lost last week, we'll take that one. We're still 6-2. Okay. We're still way in first of our division.
Oh, yeah. That division's horrible.
We're fine. It is. But so are the Falcons. So we're going to beat the Falcons, be 7-2, and we'll be good going to Kansas City.
Okay. Well, that's a loss then. Mahomes is a loss.
I mean, you say that like they're playing well. What are they?
I just don't trust Dan Quinn on the road in Kansas City. Because I watched Dan Quinn for 5 years in Atlanta, so I know what
Dan
he can do.
Quinn is re-energized. He's not the head coach. Just doing the defense. We got Micah Parsons. Diggs had a couple off games, but Diggs is about to be back. We're going to be okay.
Is Randy Gregory not getting high?
Like a beast.
Is Gregory not getting high, bro? Is Gregory not getting high no more?
Listen, not right now. We not right now. He's waiting to the offseason.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to be watching out for this because between y'all Cowboys, I love it. You know, I'm wearing your – I'm not saying I'm Jason. I wore your colors for you. See, I wore the Cowboys, silver. I'm being a nice host today. I didn't wear black and red today.
I didn't wear black and red today.
I could have done that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Hey, I look forward to the game. So I'm going to text you something like, I see this. What's going on? It's going down. Like, the other jack is going down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, we're going to do this again real soon, but this was fun, man. I enjoyed this, brother. So, best love to you this weekend, my guy. We'll talk to you real soon, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, brother.
Yes, sir.